Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of, you guessed it, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. Coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We are syndicated also on the following: iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radioline, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, CastBox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Geo7, and now on Sirius XM Radio. We're everywhere and nowhere at the same time. We're broadcasting here live from Los Angeles, California, and we are Jenny and the Muse.
Hi.
We're obviously broadcasting from home during this wonderful time of COVID. Stay safe, everybody. Wear your mask. Do what you're supposed to do. Use hand sanitizer. Wash your hands. You know, keep doing what you're doing, especially in the big populated areas like L.A., we will get through this. Things are starting to open back up again. Get vaccinated. It is not a conspiracy. They're not trying to inject you with some kind of tracking device, okay? So stop that bullshit. Get a shot. Anyway, that should be my new punk rock song. Get a shot. And no, I was kidding. Anyway, this is Jenny and the Muse. Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, iTalk Radio Channel 1, iHeartRadio. We have a great guest on the show tonight. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And we're going to do our little shout-outs to everybody real quick. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Melanie Chartoff, author of Odd Woman Out. New book out. Go check it out. Go get it. Go find it wherever books may be sold. And also, you can check her out as the voice of Dee Dee Pickles from the Rugrats. Hell yeah. She's got, plus actress, many things. She has done a lot of projects. And so we're very excited for you to be on the show today, Melanie. I'm going to do my quick little shout outs. We're going to have our little quick 5-minute health segment with our buddy Derek Webb, health expert extraordinaire from New Hampshire. And then we're going to come on with you and talk. And then hopefully we'll be joined by Kate Myers, a.k.a. China Myers, author. Also, she is our regular guest host, co-host that chimes in from Pennsylvania at least once a month. We have her on the show. And, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to share this experience with others in other parts of the country. So. Here's our quick little shout outs. We manage the following bands or artists: Potty Mouth, Black Sabbatha, Don Marlowe, Star Daddy, Nola Star, Jane's Addicted, Aussie Train, Mortis the Devil's Reject, Mortis Doll Dancers featuring Lillian Sin and Cinder. We have Cleaver from Santiago, Chile. We have Fallen Fury from San Luis Obispo, California. Burn the Ships and Band of Family from Bakersfield, California. We have Berserk and Hollywood Nightmare from the LA area. We have the Borderline Radio Show with DJs Carol Dyack and Bruce Blaine, playing all the best in pop, trap, and dance music. They're from Italy, and we're glad to have them in our family now. And then, of course, Derek Webb, health expert and actor. And producer now, apparently, too, of movies. So, hey, anybody can do it, right? even if you're from Maine, or Derek is from New Hampshire. We have the following bars and venues that we work with regularly, and we'll be working with them again very, very soon right here in the LA area.
Yeah.
I'm extremely excited. And Melanie, you are free to come on down and come to our concerts and dance with us and have a great time. That's what this is all about.
Dance? I didn't know you could dance on a live radio show.
Oh, we can do anything. We put together our own concerts. And we have bands, we book the venues, and we host a nice little show at least, you know, once or twice a week, sometimes more, at different various venues, such as the Five Star Bar in downtown Los Angeles, 267 South Marco and Angie Cordova, Petey's Place, 6025 Reseda Boulevard, Tarzana, California, owner Petey Partello. We have the Universal Bar and Grill at 4093 Lankerston Boulevard in North Hollywood, California, owner Greg Beer. And then we also have the Rainbow Bar and Grill, world famous venue at 9015 Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood, California, 90069. And shout out to our buddy Nick Fuoco from Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays. Hopefully very shortly, we will be having concerts again. I just got hit up by Greg Beer from the Universal Bar and Grill in North Hollywood about starting to put together some concerts. So very excited, everybody. Just wanted you all to know things are about to get crazy in L.A. Still social distancing, though, and wearing a mask until everybody's vaccinated and everybody is safe. But, you know, and we'll have hand sanitizer, you know, pumps all over the damn bar. So, you know, we're good. Okay. So is Derek still there? Ronan, if so, bring his butt on. You still there, Derek? I don't even know if he's still there. Oh, there we go. It's Derek Webb. Oh my God. He's back. What's up? He's connecting. Hold on one moment. Wait for it. Gotta unmute your mic, buddy. Unmute the mic. Mute your mic. He'll figure it out eventually. Anyway, unmute your mic. Yeah.
There we go. Can you hear me, Jenny?
Yeah, there we go. You have to unmute the mic. What's up, buddy?
How's it going? I missed you.
Actor, producer, and health expert, Derek Webb, who we are very blessed to manage his wonderful career. Make sure you keep your manager in the loop a little more often there, buddy. You know what I'm saying? You got to tell me some shit. I'm just posting on Facebook. You got to tell me.
I know. I'll keep you posted. I'm sorry, Jenny.
That's okay. That's my job, is to help you get gigs and pass your name, you know, pass you around like a pack of smokes in a jail. Oh, anyway, no, I didn't say that. What?
That's a good idea. I mean, come on, no.
All right, go ahead and do your little health segment. Talk to Melanie Chartoff.
All righty, sounds fabulous. All right, tonight's segment, boys and girls, thank you for joining me live. And we are going to be discussing a lot tonight about rest in particular. And the reason I chose rest as the topic for tonight, between fitness and resting, between working out and the bodybuilding routine you may be in, is because of the personal issues I've had suffered medically with my back due to unfortunate weightlifting accidents. The rest is a key crucial part of bodybuilding, and I want to explain that in depth, because if you don't rest, you get what they call the plateau effect, which means with the plateau effect in your body, you just fall apart. You fall apart miserably in the gym, at home during your workouts. You don't find the means to get the energy out of your workout. Your body goes completely south and downhill. Yeah. So the best part of a workout, the best thing to do, believe it or not, is to get some good rest. And I see it from time to time again. People are in the gym, they're overworking their bodies, they're overworking themselves, they're asthmatic, you know, issues, all that stuff. And they're just overkilling it to the point that the body hits, once again, the plateau effect. And what the plateau effect is where your body gets so used to a routine that when you don't mix it up, or you don't break up that routine, or you don't rest your body enough, your body then begins to fail to develop what it needs for the muscle base or the foundation to create the muscle within itself. So that's why it's crucial you get the rest you need. Plenty of water, plenty of replenishment, H2O, because our bodies is medically and scientifically proven to be 80 to 90% made up of water. So the crucial aspect too, between the rest and also helping to avoid the plateau effect, is drinking plenty of water in between the rest, in between the routines of your workouts. And then the other major thing that a lot of people fail and they do not realize too, is that when you get rest and you go back to the gym, or you go back to your home workout, whether it be at home or at the gym, whether vice versa, whatever you prefer, you go back at it and you're like a madman. You're doing like maybe, believe it or not, with rest. And I found it myself personally. I found out that if I take a day or two of rest, which I do here and there, that you go back to the gym, you were at the, you're doing like 30 or 40 pull-ups in one workout, comparison to when you weren't resting, you're overkilling your body so bad that you're like, oh, you're struggling just to get that 20th rep in. So the rest, you go back, you believe it or not, you're hitting it like King Kong, man. You're boom, 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 boom. And that is the key. You need plenty of rest, plenty of water, plenty of H2O replenishment. Just let that body resolve itself. Because if you don't, man, I tell you what, you're going to kill yourself. And in the long run, your body once again plateaus and you don't get ultimately the results you want. So key for tonight, key to health and fitness tip, plenty of rest. And there's nothing wrong with taking a day or two off. However, I would not recommend staying off a long period of time, because that can also affect your gains and your workout athleticism and also your bodybuilding mass. So your best suggestion would be at least 2 days off in the week if you're going to get those rest days in. But I get it from time to time. I even get people asking me all the time, like, dude, I don't know what I should do. Should I take a rest day? I don't want to feel like a lazy piece of crap if I take a day off. No, don't be ashamed of it, because if you do it, your body will love you for it. And I'm telling you what, like I said, you'll go back to the gym, you'll feel like $1 million, or you'll be doing 30 pull-ups at home, you'll be doing 75 push-ups at home, maybe even 100, who knows. I do it all the time. I take a day off and I'm like, wow, maybe that's what my body needs. It's a magic cure. So rest and plenty of fluid, plenty of H2O especially. And that's the key, boys and girls.
Very good. I agree. Yes, you need to rest. If you overexert yourself, and you go like, you know, too crazy, you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to tear something, pull something, you know, break something. And you really don't want to overstress any of your muscles or joints, ligaments, any of that. You got to be very, very careful. And the key to elasticity and staying fit even better and longer into life is water. Drink a lot of water. They also say too much water is a bad thing.
Don't
go crazy, but do your suggested, you know, like, what is it, 4 8-ounce glasses a day or whatever it is. Like, stay within the norm, like what they say. Don't go too crazy. But I think it depends on your level of what you're doing. Like, if you're just, you know, going for a walk versus a hardcore workout, there's like a little bit of a difference in how much you're going to sweat. So how much do you need to replenish yourself, because you just sweated out a bunch of, you know, of everything. Ronan Chinam says that she's there somewhere, the waiting room. I don't know if you can check. There she is. All right.
What the heck
Maria
happened?
Myers, co-host, author extraordinaire from Pennsylvania.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, man. We were just talking to Derek about staying hydrated and resting, you know, when you work out and stuff.
Derek, that's the way to go, right?
Oh, yes. Plenty of water, plenty of H2O, keeping the rest down. That's the way to be.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be like permanently, but, you know, but I do think a lot of people, especially, you see it on the football fields and high school kids too a lot, is they over exonerate themselves. And sadly, you're seeing these kids dropping dead of sudden heart attacks right on the field. And it's like,
which is crazy.
Your body is like a car, man. If you don't give it the right gasoline, the right go, you're going to be down for it. And like Jenny said herself too, pulling the ligaments, tearing the tissue, tearing the central nerve root endings. You know,
muscles,
everything. It goes all into one pie, man. And it's just a matter of taking that right course and the right course of action. And when you go back at it, like you said, you feel like $1 million. And believe it or not, take a day or two off. You're like, boom, I can run a mile today, or I can do 4,500 push-ups. You know?
After you're rested, yeah. Question. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What about all these sports people with their sports drinks with all that sodium? Do you recommend
and sugar,
water, sugar, or those sports drinks? Yeah, sugar, sodium.
Oh, no, bad. Very bad.
So you're asking about the drinks, you said?
Yeah. What about, I see all these football stars and basketball, they have sports drinks instead of water. Do you recommend water or those sports drinks?
I would recommend the water. Urgently, I would say the water, because honestly, I've been one strongly against the energetic sports drinks. First of all, they got way too much caffeinated substances in them.
Yeah. And,
which is bad for your heart. It can also cause overgrowth of the large. It can cause an enlarged heart over abuse and use of long periods of time.
Oh, yeah.
Enlargement of the heart, the enlargement of the aorta, which is the main artery to the heart, which will ultimately give you sudden heart attacks.
Shit.
The major these stimulants are really dangerous, and a lot of these younger people are using them way too frequently to get that extra boost on the workout. And my suggestion. Yeah. Just a little weight, maybe a whey protein shake before your workout, and then an after recovery shake, a whey protein shake, and then with a little bit of water, an 8-ounce cool glass of water or some water bottles, that'd be the way to go, for my opinion. And then the sugar alone, like we were discussing, sugar, the stimulants, all that stuff that goes into those energy drinks are way, way, way healthy, not even for your body, but your heart health. Your heart suffers really ultimately because of the stimulants.
Yeah, and all that sugar and the salt dehydrates you.
Yeah,
it dehydrates you. So it's doing the opposite of what it's supposed to do.
Exactly.
You're supposed to be replenishing your body and
it's taking
and nutrients and all this stuff. And you can't do that if what you're drinking and putting into your body, and you sweat so much, like, and you're trying to put everything back in. That's not good if it's just sugar and salt, like, because that's going to dehydrate you further, and it's detrimental. It's not counteractive.
Derek, I have another question for you. What about potassium? Like, does it drain the potassium from your body? Like you said, it affects your heart, those sports drinks.
Yeah.
And sodium, I want you to tell the guest how sodium and potassium go together, right? And if you have too much sodium, it depletes your potassium. Tell them all about that.
If you inject too much sodium on a large quantity of basis, which some of these people do, which, like we were saying, with the energy drinks, there's so much sodium in some of these compounds of which that are there, that ultimately takes back against the potassium level, and it takes your potassium and completely drains it. And ultimately, when that happens, your heart actually runs off of potassium. It actually doesn't generally run off of potassium, but your heart, it is proven too less of potassium or too much potassium can lead to sudden heart cardiac arrest, can lead to heart problems, heart murmuring, heart defects. So the sodium working against the potassium not only dehydrates you, it makes you sweat more, it makes you weak, more vulnerable, because when you start losing the potassium, which is a major supplement to your body, you start becoming so vulnerable, so weak, so fatigued, you're not the person you once were in the gym. And then next thing you know, you're suffering heart problems, you're in the emergency room, and you're on an EKG, developing a heart murmur, heart defects. It's definitely, it does, it takes a toll on you.
Yeah. And, all right. and I don't well, think you know a lot what? Of people
know that. You know what I want to do right now?
What?
I want to talk to Melanie Chartoff. I love
Melanie!
You, Derek. I love you, Derek. But
it's
damn,
good
I've got
you again,
Melanie.
Derek.
I've got the Melanie Chartoff on my damn radio show today.
Paula! Hello! Hi, Melanie. Hi,
author,
how are you
odd
guys?
Odd Woman Out. Odd Woman Out. Check it out. And also, voice of Dee Dee Pickles from the Rugrats.
Rugrats!
Yeah, oh, man. Actress. And she does everything. This woman is amazingly talented.
Amazing.
Give it up for Melanie Chartoff.
Yeah. Virtual clapping going on right now.
Welcome to our show today, Melanie. I put that on Facebook so everybody could see the book jacket, so they can, take a look at it. Very nice.
And I am Dee Dee Pickles, but not for much longer.
Oh.
You're doing a reboot on Paramount, and all the creatures are no longer animated.
You know, my kids would love this.
They're
interesting.
Computer generated now.
You were on Nickelodeon, right?
Oh, for years.
Yeah, that was all great. All the movies, all the games, all the action video games. Oh my god, there was a lot of stuff, one of the biggest franchises ever, especially to come out of Nickelodeon. It's just freaking huge. I got a lot of questions for you, Melanie.
You let me know, Jennifer, when I can start.
I said China could start off our questions this evening. So China Myers, take it away.
It was a long run for you with that Rugrats. How did you enjoy that? Was that fun?
How many years did you do it for? No, it was wonderful. We actually only recorded for 7 years, and they kept, you know, letting us go and bringing us back, letting us go, and the ratings would go up and up, and then they'd bring us back again. So it was from 1989 when we first did the pilot until about 2005. I was the best time. First of all, you don't have to wear high heels, makeup, or bra. You know, you can just come up and do your characters. And the people I work with were just
Nobody's seen you.
Right. What?
Nobody's seen you.
Nobody saw me. They saw Dee Dee Pickles. And which took a real load off the pressure to look good all the time. And, you know, and when I did personal appearances, I'd do the voice and the children would get very confused because they don't really understand there's somebody behind the creature. They believe in Santa Claus. They believe that the cartoon characters are really real. So it was kind of a mind blowing when we actually spoke as ourselves and then went into the voices.
Yeah.
Tell me about your character, Jane. Remember that character?
My character who?
Jane.
I don't think I played a Jane. I played Reptar's wife, and I played Minka, the Yiddish grandmother.
It was on another show. You played Jane Curtin as an anchor. What show was that?
I really don't know.
You don't remember that one?
Well, you have to tell me the name of it. I've done a lot of shows.
Okay, it was Sapphire Friday. Sapphire Friday.
I don't think I was on that show, China.
That's what it said. It said you were on Sapphire Friday, 1980, and you were, it was a fake news, and you were an anchor woman.
I was on a news show in which I played an anchor woman, but it was a late night comedy show like Saturday Night Live. So, no.
Yeah. It said Sapphire. It wasn't, what was it called?
Fridays with Michael Richards and Larry David and
Sapphire Friday.
Okay.
Sapphire Friday.
That's a pretty big name.
It wasn't called Sapphire Friday. It was just called Fridays.
Okay. They had it mistaken. And what was your character's name?
I played many characters. I played 20 or 30 characters every year.
Oh, okay.
It was like Saturday Night Live where we all did sketches. You know,
I understand.
Skit comedy, right? Yeah.
Skit comedy. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I also read that you teach improv or were teaching improv and you had a literacy workshop throughout schools in California.
No, I'm sorry. You have the wrong guest.
Wow. Melanie, that's just...
What website are you looking on?
Wikipedia. Wikipedia is not always right.
Okay, how about this one? I'm sorry. Cover your ears, Melanie. Cover your ears.
What?
Fuck Wikipedia. I'm sorry. I did not say that. Okay. I did not just say that, Melanie. You heard nothing. Anyway.
You heard nothing. Okay. Did you work with Fred Willard.
Yeah. Yes, Fred. Oh, he just passed. I love Fred Willard.
Yeah, we co-hosted a show called What's Hot, What's Not for a few years. And that was on the Fifth Network. It was
like close
broadcasting. And then it just didn't run for long. But Fred and I love working together, improvising together. I miss it.
We're coming up on that anniversary. Was it May 15th?
Last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep running into people that knew Fred Willard. It was Melanie. I remember you had, it was like a course on Facebook, like everybody's pages, you know, like kind of intertwine and things like that. And like, you know, if you saw this person, then you'll see this person, you know what I mean? Because they're associated with you. And I was like that. And then I've been talking to Judy Tenuta. Judy Tenuta is also associated with him, kind of like, I don't know, you know, I just love it. I just love everybody working together like that.
Do you know how he passed? What happened? Did he have a heart attack or didn't really say? I can't understand
what you're saying. Say that again.
How did he pass? Did it say how he passed?
I don't remember. I wasn't invited.
He's older. Yeah. He was older. He was in his 80s. I mean, you know.
He had lost his wife, Mary, a couple of years before, and he was very sad.
That's usually what happens is when you're older, you know, you lose your spouse that you've been with like 40, 50 years.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times, unfortunately, the spouse passes within a few years, you know, 2 or 3 years after, which is sad. But
yeah.
But he lived a good, full life. He had an amazing, incredible career. And we all love him. So
yeah, rest in peace.
I have questions that I actually know something about.
I had read, now tell me if this is true or not, that you started out, you wanted to be a poetist. And you wanted to be a poet when you first started out.
Oh, I never wanted to be. It's just one of the other things I do. I get poetry published. And I started when I was in the 8th grade. I had a poem published in the New Haven Register. That's where I'm from.
Oh, wow. So you've been writing for a very long time.
I have, but I wrote a play in the 4th grade, and it was put on in the New Haven County school system. And when I didn't get the lead in my own play, I said, screw this, I'm going to be an actor.
Because good for you.
So I've been writing and acting all my life, and but I had the most notoriety and celebrity, of course, from acting.
Right.
I did Seinfeld. I was on Newhart. I had a recurring role on that. I was on Wise Guy. Many, many different shows in the 90s.
I remember you on Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Newhart.
Newhart for years. I was on Wise Guy.
I do remember you on Newhart. Actually, I loved that show. I watched that for years. For years, religiously, and now I think about it, I do remember you, and I remember you on the other show. That's awesome. You've had an incredible career. You really have.
And you went to Yale.
I didn't go to Yale, but when I'm from New Haven, so I was in the plays at Yale University when they needed a young woman.
I see.
Okay.
And one of the plays was called what? Threepenny.
Threepenny Opera, which was on Broadway with Raul Julia. I played opposite Raul Julia in on Broadway, which was called Via Galactica. And I had my first love scene on stage with Raul Julia on Broadway. It was exciting.
Did you guys actually kiss? Family.
I loved him in the Addams Family.
Well, more than that. We did more than that. We lay down together, if you understand what I mean.
Now, was it
all right?
Was the kissing like it is now, or you really didn't touch lips? How did that go?
No, we really kissed. We were creatures from another planet who were forced to have relations by the government. we were colored.
That would have been interesting. That's a Raul Julia. Ooh, what a handsome man, though. What a handsome man.
What about one of your other roles?
God,
you played a prostitute.
I played a prostitute many times in my youth, and it was like I would go next door.
She openly admits it.
No, keep that on the down low.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I said, keep that on the down low, the prostitute part.
No, I'm proud. I flaunt it now because I'm a married woman with stepkids. So now I like
She's an actress, man. Actresses, and you gifted enough, you can do anything. But you know what we really need to talk about today, though, is your new book. That's the focus of our show today, mostly is talking about that new book,
Odd
Woman
Out.
It's five star on Amazon and Barnes and Noble now.
All right.
All the news. People
you go, girl.
Tell us about it.
What's the premise of the book?
I'm sorry?
What is the premise of the book? What's everything about?
It's 35 stories taking place over 50 years in a career as an actor looking for love in fictitious places. All the love blunders that I made, you know, this is back in the day when women were very puritanical and moral and you had to stay a virgin until you got married. Suddenly they invented the pill and morality and chastity just like went out the window.
The 70s? The 70s, 80s?
Yeah.
70s, 80s? Yeah, 70s.
Those of us who were very uptight, you know, and scared about going all the way because we've been brought up not to, went through a lot of confusion. And
I was there.
I was a virgin until I was like 23 because I was so scared, you know, to let go, to surrender. And then I realized at 23, I'm probably not going to get married to any of these guys I'm meeting right now. So what the hell? So I went on the pill and began my adventures. And, but in my 40s and 50s, I missed getting married and having kids. And I decided I'll have some wild times. So right. I did. And then, but all the while I'm acting on television and doing other things and fighting depression. And then at 65, I got married for the first time to a wonderful man.
Wow.
Good for you.
I have
you don't even look no. that age. Oh no. My God, woman.
Oh, you. No, she looks great.
Like, you look like you barely 50. I mean, yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
But Fountain of Youth is in your basement, right? Tell us. You can tell us.
Tell you what?
The Fountain of Youth is in your basement.
No,
she's hiding it all for herself.
I guess it's a good diet. Like, I haven't had sugar or caffeine since I was in my early 20s because it makes me crazy. I have a hypoglycemia.
Okay. That's understandable. Yeah.
And gluten, you know, can't eat a lot of sweet stuff. So
I got you.
Help me healthy, I think.
But that's
I gave
you,
up
you
know? M&M's for Lent. So I was really suffering.
I did not.
So what else is your book about?
My book is 35 chapters that take place over 50 years of my life as an actor. I just told you what the book is about. Looking for love in fictitious places. Some of the stories are about men who came courting me with like carrier pigeons or Priuses.
Really?
Or nightgowns. Oh, I had some crazy, interesting.
Carrier pigeons?
Yeah. A man sent a carrier pigeon to the theater on opening night of a big musical I was doing. And he said, if you will have dinner with me, put a note on the pigeon's leg.
Are you serious?
Back. Yeah. This is one of the chapters in the book.
Oh my goodness!
And if it's a no, put a no on the leg of the bird. Just set her free out the window. But I got very attached to this bird, so I kept the bird for about 5 weeks. I knew I wasn't going to like the guy because really good looking guys never waste that much time on courtship. You know, they just get right to it. So I knew he wouldn't be attractive. So he shows up. He tells me he's going to show up at the theater in 8 weeks to see my matinee. And can he take me to dinner? So I put a no on the leg of the carrier pigeon, but after 5 weeks, it wasn't in good shape anymore. So I threw her out the window and she tried to fly. She's trying to fly. And then all of a sudden she just gave up and she plummeted like a rock and hit the ground in the parking lot.
So oh my goodness.
That's
a sad story.
Dudley, this is so difficult, but Mitch didn't make it. He said, well, because you didn't exercise her for 5 weeks. And I said, he said, well, what was your answer? Was it yes or no? And I
asked you kill the bird.
It was yes. It was yes. I will have dinner with you. And so I took him out to dinner and it was just miserable. And I wish.
Okay.
I hadn't.
What did he look like?
Yeah.
Well, he was attractive, as I said.
Like you said, you nailed it. You nailed it right on the head, Melanie. You said he wasn't going to be attractive, and he was
very rich. He owned his own brewery in Texas, and
he can be ugly all he wants.
Yeah,
yes. But we were
you
both
money like that. You know, hey, whatever.
We were both looking for love, but you know, I
you've had some really, really crazy, amazing like stories. I would love to read your book. I really want a copy. I want to read that thing because
it's on Amazon.
Just that one adventure makes me want to get the book and read it. That's crazy.
The adventures of an actor, you know, going crazy on late night television. When everybody around me was on cocaine and pot and God knows what else, it was like crazy time. So I have a whole chapter about that. And I have chapters about, you know, dating after I'm 50, when what's the point of dating? You're not going to get married. But then I met
have kids and stuff. Right. Yeah.
I met a man on Match.com, you know, early in my 60s.
And we were just perfect
each other.
The 21st century dating thing, right?
I'm afraid
that's amazing. That's amazing that at any age you could go on something like that, or let's say eHarmony.
Yeah.
Those are the only two sites, in my opinion, where people are really serious about actually finding somebody.
OkCupid, I met mine.
Oh, really? Very nice. Very nice.
And it's free. I didn't have to pay for it.
Oh, damn. Good.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
I had another question for you. You moved from New York to California. Which one do you like better?
Oh, well, I used to love New York so much because the theater was so...
The theater. Alive. I was going to say, I knew you were going to say that was literally the first thing out of my mouth was theater. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. It does have amazing theater. It really does. Broadway, off-Broadway, just amazing.
I was getting much more money out here, I have to say. And I was doing theater. I was doing theater out here too. So it began.
Right. We have a lot of theater out here. Yeah,
I can have trees. It's safe to walk on the street. I own like trees in
Very
my
true.
Backyard. Yeah, and it sort of like tipped the scales. But I go back to New York a lot. My mom is in Hamden. She's turning 97 next week.
Oh, God bless her.
I know.
That's incredible. That's great.
Because you have longevity in your family, right?
I do. And a lot of the book is about my mother. Some of her struggles with my father. They had a kind of a crazy relationship, like an opera.
Right.
It was funny and crazy. And I think the reason I went into comedy at first was just to keep them from killing each other.
Good idea.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot about mom, and she's still with us. I have to hand it to her. She learned how to love very late in life. She fell in love in her 60s.
And
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know.
That's so cute.
So you kind of tell her story in your book, too, about that. Do you tell that?
A little bit of it. Yeah. I have so many subjects, China. I mean, I have so many adventures that I've had and just
sounds amazing.
I've had a crazy life. And even if I wasn't the most famous star on any of the shows, I was still having a rollicking adventure nonetheless.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the star. You know what I'm saying? You could be a supporting actor. You could even just be like one of those characters that only comes through once in a while and says a couple of lines. You know what I mean?
Right.
And as long as you're engaging and you've left a good taste in people's mouths, you know what I mean? Like you did a good job. You made people laugh. You had a fun time while doing it. And you were living life to the fullest. And that is what matters. It's not about being Brad Pitt, you know what I mean? It's not about being Angelina Jolie. We don't all have to be like on that level to achieve success. Success is relative to the person. Everybody's different. Everybody's completely different. And I think that your path has been a wonderful one.
Oh, amazing.
It's led you to some really, really incredible places just from what you've told us so far. You know, and I think like you observing your mother and your dad's relationship, that sometimes that bleeds into our own lives.
Yeah.
So that when we get older, it affects our decisions as to the partners that we choose.
And yeah, probably a little more leery.
I, like you, Melanie, lost my virginity at a later age.
Uh-huh.
I was 20. You know what I'm saying? And I grew up in a puritanical type environment, very religious, very restrictive. I wasn't allowed to even spend the night at a friend's house. I wasn't allowed to date boys. My mother literally told me before she passed right before I turned 14 of cancer. Aww. Right before she passed, though, she said, she thought she was going to live to be, you know, when I was older, you know, in my teens and whatnot.
Of course.
She said, if I dated a boy, like I was 16 or something, and I went with a boy on a date in a car, she was going to be sitting in the back seat with a shotgun, watching every little thing he does.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny, you know, when I think back about, you know, even as disturbing a woman as she was, I just think back about some of the things she said, and it just kind of makes me laugh. So that a lot of that has made me a comedian.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, a lot of
you find comedy, laughter in stuff.
Yeah, our comedy a lot of times, like certain people, it comes from a place of like pain.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like a deflection. It's a way to put a boundary around ourselves, like a bubble. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, hey, they can't hurt me. You know what I mean? They can't hurt me. I'm gonna be sarcastic. I'm gonna be funny. I'm gonna be whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some people just, you know, it's a defense mechanism sometimes.
Well, Melanie, what do you think about your mother made you leery of men, or, you know, not finding love till a later age? What do you think was about her that happened?
Well, I talk about it in my book, China. My mom was, she ran away to get married when she was about 18.
Okay.
And as soon as they were married and he took her up to the hotel, she was raped on her wedding night.
Okay.
And then he left her there.
Wow.
And then mother even bribed her with a fur coat to give her son an annulment.
That sounds like a TV movie. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. My mother had quite a difficult life, and she was brought up in, you know, the 30s and the 40s. Things were
right.
You know, right. I talk a lot about how the Me Too movement is happening so broadly now. Women are really having a voice. But yeah, back in the 60s, right, and 70s,
they didn't have that.
They didn't have that kind of voice. So
no, yeah, Court, no.
I talk a lot about patriarchy in Hollywood or in New York, how I had to deal, and it was having a fast mouth really got me out of some bad situations.
Yeah,
right.
I bet.
I talk about some uncomfortable situations with men where I didn't take good care of myself. I wasn't fast enough. I wasn't tough enough.
And okay, it's right.
Kind of a warning for younger women, I think, reading right. this. Even though the circumstances of our times are very different, the biological and the primordial kind of instincts remain the same in women and men.
Yeah,
right.
We don't have to say yes anymore. We can think about it and decide.
Well, we have vocabulary now because of the Me Too movement to express our difficulties or what's going on. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
You created the gray water patent. Tell us about that.
Oh, it was one of the many devices invented during the drought here in Los Angeles. It was 1991, and I had just bought my first home. Thank you, Parker Lewis Kent, Lewis and Rugrats. And it was all my fruit trees were dying. So I was taking buckets of my bath water out to water things. And I said, well, there must be a way to go direct. So I invented a gray water recycling device that would replace your shower drain and turn it into a dial. So when you turned your foot to the right, the water would be recycled in a holding tank and used
for
toilet flushing. And if you turned your foot to the left, it would go to the septic tank or the sewer like usual. So it was a very simple device. Nobody had ever thought of it. And I got the patent in 1991.
Well, look at you.
And then I stopped it around to plumbing outlets like Price Pfister and American Standard, you know, Kohler. And they all said, well, we don't believe in the gray water movement. We're just, can you keep our regular products? So I couldn't sell it. Everybody wanted to buy one, but it had to be manufactured first. And get manufactured. So now it's
I'm wondering, could we bring it back?
In the public
if we could get the funding, I'm just saying, I'm thinking female business.
Go girl power.
I think about these things. And and who better to partner with than Melanie Chartnow? Yeah. I mean, come on. This inventor, author, actress.
She was in year were you in the Inventors magazine for that?
Oh, I was in Inventors magazines like in 92, 93. I was also on the cover of Garbage magazine, which was a very short-lived ecological magazine. And it was a picture of me throwing money down a toilet saying, why waste fresh water in the toilet when you can use your shower water to flush your toilet?
Wow.
No, that's a very sensible thing, especially LA where we have the droughts all the time, you know, is a lack of water. Everybody's always complaining, oh, we got water, you know.
No showers today.
Water conservation. And I love your idea. I think it's amazing, especially where we've had very little rain here in the 9 years that I've lived here this time, very little rain. And it does affect
a thing in California
the fires.
All the time?
It's very dry. It doesn't rain that often here anymore. It's very dry and we have a lot of fires because of it. You know what I mean? All it takes is one little ash from a cigarette or something or whatever, and it could spark something and set it all off. And so something like that, Melanie, would be an amazing idea to retable. You know what I'm saying?
It's been knocked off already by a Japanese company, and they're already...
Oh, damn them.
Doggone it. Well, question.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Why weren't you listed in the U.S. patent? Why? What happened?
I am listed on my U.S. patent.
I read on Wikipedia, of course, it said you are not in the listing.
Oh, well, I am in the listing. I hired an engineer to make the thing for me because I'm not an engineer. His name was Ron. But my partner, right. Michael Bell, and I, who was also on Rugrats, funded the whole project and conceived the whole project. But we had to hire this engineer, Ron, to make the object. There's a prototype cartoon that's running on YouTube if you want to take a look at it. Animation version of the implement, so you can see how it works.
Awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
My name is on the patent, and I did conceive of the item.
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Amazing. I mean, what haven't you done, woman?
Exactly.
You've had experiences that
you're definitely an inspiration for all women and girls. Definitely.
I haven't had a podcast like you.
Well, yeah, you know what? We should. You're welcome to be a guest co-host anytime you want to, Melanie. We've got you. We'll talk about all kinds of wonderful stuff.
But you have to do your DD Pickle impersonation first. You have to start out with that.
Okay.
If you're gonna do it.
All right.
I always love those movies. I always love watching them. I watched that show with my kids, you know what I mean? Because it was a little past my time of being, you know,
exactly. A teenager.
Everybody seems to think I'm in my 30s. I'm not, but Melanie, we gotta wrap this up. We got about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
Can you please tell everyone where to buy your book and also where to find you, like social media websites, that kind of stuff?
MelanieChartoff.com is my website. You can buy the book there. You can buy it at Amazon. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble. You can buy it at Apple Books. It's not difficult. Just go online and look for Odd Woman Out, Exposure in Essays and Stories by Melanie Chartoff. And if people tune into your show, they can send me an email at playdate444@gmail.com with their addresses and proof of purchase of the book, the audiobook, or the ebook, and I'll send them a postcard bookmark. Autograph.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Just for your listeners.
You are an inspiration to women. I'm telling you. You go, girl.
You too.
Yeah.
You're a pioneer for women, and we need more young women to have a voice and to start their own business.
Yeah.
Follow their dreams. If you want to be an actress, if you want to write a book, if you want to be a singer, a songwriter, whatever it is you want to do,
anything.
You want to just move to fucking California and start a goddamn radio show.
Yeah, you could do it.
Pull something out your ass. You too can do that. Yeah. I've been on the radio for 9 years now. 9 years, count them. I started off with an FM channel. I was on FM for 5 years. And then I moved to online radio because it's just a better mode and I can swear. But anyway.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. Anyway, my book is funny. My book is funny and it's sad and it's really surprising.
So yeah. I want to go on that ride for sure. Most definitely. I want to go on that ride. And I want to thank you so much, Melanie, for being on our show today. We really appreciate you.
I was so excited to meet you.
Thank you so much. And I definitely want to redo to get you down to the state radio station Sherman Oaks so we can do this the right way.
Okay.
And take some pictures and do a voiceover little thing, you know, that you're Mrs. Melanie Chertoff and you're listening to, you know, kind of thing. And we love it. We love it. We love it. And we love you. And thank you so much for being
you, Melanie.
Doing what you do.
Thank you,
and for inspiring the world. Listen to our show, Jenny's World Talking the Block, next week. I don't know who the fuck the guest is yet, but tune in anyway, nonetheless. Next Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1.
We are out, people.
Peace out. Bye, peace China. Out. Love you.
Love you, too.
See you.
That was fun.
All right.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.